Dr. Ralph Wilson with Joyful Heart Renewal Ministries. We're looking at a passage I'm calling Seeking God Diligently from Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Let's pray. Father, as we read your word and ponder it, open up our hearts to your Spirit's calling. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It seems like I'm always losing something, and then I spend time looking again and again in the same places until my eye suddenly spots it. Why didn't I see it before? Jesus told a parable about a woman who lost a silver coin. She lights a lamp and then sweeps and scours every inch of her house until she finds it. I can relate to that, seeking diligently something lost, something missing. A passage in Isaiah talks about seeking. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What does it mean to seek the Lord? The verb means to seek with care, with diligence. Here it seems also to have the sense of worship. People in our secular world don't seek the Lord, but sadly neither do many Christians. We might go to church a couple times a month and hum along with the songs, but are we seeking diligently? I sometimes ask Christians, what does your daily time with God look like? The answers I get are discouraging. Many believers don't have any time in their day set apart to draw close to Jesus, to worship him, to seek his guidance, to spend time in his word. Maybe, if you're honest, this describes you. David's Psalms give us a glimpse into his spiritual life. Psalm 27:8, you have said, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Notice that David talks about seeking the Lord's face, an Hebraic way of saying that he longs to talk to the Lord face to face like Moses. He is looking for an intimate encounter with the Lord, not just a rote prayer. When David is being chased by King Saul in the parched Judean desert, he calls out with desperation, Psalm 63:1, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Earnestly is an extension of the idea of early, the King James translation, early will I seek thee. First thing in the morning, David is out seeking the Lord, seeking a word, seeking comfort, seeking direction, seeking to know him better. Jesus himself follows the same pattern. Mark 1:35, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Early will I seek thee. My friend, do you seek the Lord with this kind of determination? If not, why not? Look again at our text from Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's dangerous to put off seeking God to a more opportune time. I've talked to many people who wish they could redo seasons of their lives, but it's too late now. There is a time to seek him, and that time is now. Tomorrow, you may not feel the same hunger and intensity. Years, whole years, may be lost to intimate communion with the Lord. Don't put it off. Do it now. There was a time, only 2 years into their sojourn in the Sinai desert, when the Israelites could have gone into Canaan and conquered the land. But they rebelled, refused, and spent the next 38 years in the desert. There was a short window of time during which they could obey, but it was fleeting, and they chose wrong. Today, if you hear his voice, respond. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When I was pastoring in Los Angeles, I remember encouraging a man, pleading with him to surrender his life to Christ before he went into the operating room for open-heart surgery. He put me off. After I get out of the hospital, then. His heart stopped on the table. I'll never forget watching through the windows the doctor performing CPR on him, trying to get his heart going again. They couldn't. It was too late for him to make his peace with God. The Lord tells his people in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Back to Isaiah 55. Now Isaiah describes what is necessary for his people to seek the Lord with whole hearts. Verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord." People are called on to forsake their way, their path, the lifestyle that they are pursuing. Forsake is a strong word. We prefer halfway measures, but the Lord calls for full repentance. We must leave the wrongful or sinful pathway and start walking on the right and righteous one. Repentance requires a lifestyle change. But not just right actions are required to be able to commune closely with the Lord. Right thoughts are necessary too. Our thoughts are the precursors and motivators of our actions. We can burn with anger inwardly and try to be nice on the outside, but people aren't usually fooled. The Pharisees were proud of their keeping of the letter of the law, but Jesus nailed them for their adulterous and murderous thoughts. God invites us to think like he thinks, to think his thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yahweh asks us to become like he himself is. The world laughs at people who try to keep their thoughts pure and right. "They're so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good," they say. But that is a smokescreen to hide rebellion against God. We know that seeking God involves a whole heart and a willing mind. We purify our thoughts by letting them be cleansed by constant attention to the Scriptures, which is a way to think God's thoughts after him. John 15:3, "You are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Ephesians 5:26, "Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." At the same time, we train ourselves to turn away from and reject thoughts that are wrong so they don't take root in us. We can't prevent thought temptations, but we don't have to embrace them. Martin Luther said, "You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from making a nest in your hair." Philippians 4:8, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." My brothers, my sisters, God wants to purify both our thoughts and our actions. And as we submit to him, he will do this. And as we are gradually purified, we'll be able to see his face more and more clearly. Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." When I evaluate my actions and thoughts, especially my thoughts, I fall way short. I am ashamed. God knows us and our weaknesses and imperfections, but in spite of them, he calls us to himself. We are called to return to the Lord. The Hebrew verb used here, better than any other verb, combines in itself the two requisites of repentance, to turn from evil and to turn to the good. God calls us to himself so that we might experience his compassion and his love afresh and anew. Compassion is God's mercy for his children who love him, while they still flounder with getting it right. And he doesn't just forgive us a bit conditionally. Rather, he pardons us abundantly. Hallelujah. Where are you, my sister, my brother? Jesus calls you today to leave behind the ways and thoughts that have injured you and left you helpless. They have clouded your vision of Him. He calls you to come to Him. He wants you to seek Him, to seek His face and be changed by it, and come close so you can feel His love, compassion, and pardon, so you can know in your innermost being that it is good between you and your God. That is your inheritance as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Knowing God intimately and walking with Him is the greatest blessing we can know this side of heaven. Won't you return to Him now and seek Him afresh? Let's pray. Our Father, as we hear your words and they sink deep into our hearts, I pray that you would motivate my sisters and brothers who are hearing this to turn again to you and seek you diligently, that we might know you, O Lord, and the joy of your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Forgiver. Amen.